These Shabbosos, as there's still a gap between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, Kriyas HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael is still a week ahead of Chutz Laaretz until we close the gap. So I'm trying to speak every Shabbos just briefly about the hidden connections between the Parshios in Bamidbar, especially towards the end of Bamidbar. The connections are so obvious, which makes it easy to connect, but also sometimes masks some more subtle connections. So the obvious connection between Parshas Bahalotcha and Parshas Shlach is highlighted by Chazal, the juxtaposition of the last section of Bahalotcha and the first section, or the dominant section of Shlach. The common theme is Lashon Hara. Miriam and Aaron slandered and libeled Moshe. For that, Miriam at least is punished. And the Meraglim should have taken heed. So this juxtaposition highlights the toxicity of slander, of negative speech. It highlights that slander and negative speech is deleterious and harmful. Even if the victim of the slander and the libel isn't insulted, Moshe, in theory, could be insulted. The land of Israel is an inanimate object. It's not going to be insulted. It's not like the land of Israel is going to be embarrassed to show its face in public. So it's more about the corrosive nature of hateful speech, negative perspective, pessimism, even in many cases where it's perhaps motivated by sincere intentions, as it may have been in the case of Moshe's, the slander against Moshe. At least Chazal say that Miriam and Aaron were disturbed that Moshe had severed marital relations from his wife, and they felt indignant about that. They were rallying to Tzipora's defense, and so many different reasons the Meraglim could be at least not acquitted, but at least granted some degree of validity for this shocking and just astonishing attack on the country of Israel, the land of our dreams. But what I think the two parashas highlights, and I'll tell a story about Rav Amital, is you'd expect with the leadership, the new leadership structures in Bahalotcha, you'd expect people to come forward and mitigate crisis and calm panic and stem this mutiny. Because after all, that's what Bahalotcha creates. It creates new forms of leadership. So there are new Nesi'im in Bahalotcha. Okay, they're not really new. We saw them in Bamidbar. But remember, Bamidbar and Bahalotcha a little bit out of order. But this is a new generation of Nesi'im. We don't see them before. We saw them, of course. We see them in Nassau during their Korbanos. Obviously, the Levim have entered their role in their capacity. Of course, the Sanhedrin has been established in Parshas Bahalotcha. So you've got three different avenues of leadership, and you'd expect one of them to block this rampant panic and this stampede, no other way to say it, in Parshas Shlach. And not only are they unsuccessful, but they're the problem. They're not the solution. They're actually the problem. The Nesi'im, they throw the country and the nation into panic. There's a really interesting pasuk that gets a little bit lost in the shuffle because it's a small pasuk and a small Rashi. But I think it's in Shlishi, where everyone is crying, everyone is panicking. So the pasuk is a little bit redundant because it describes the entire community and then it describes the nation. And the iconic word is Eida, because Eida oftentimes refers to the Sanhedrin. And this is the Sanhedrin that had just newly been minted in Parshas Bahalotcha, Esfali Shivimish. And now, again, they're not part of the solution, they're the problem. They start crying, Kol Eida Sanhedrios. So it's just shocking that all the efforts in Bahalotcha to create stable or stabilizing leadership to help during crisis backfires. And the Nesi'im and the Sanhedrin, the Nesi'im instigate and the Sanhedrin continue this spiral. We don't really see the role of the Levim that much, but the spiral continues. Now, part of, again, I hate using that word because it's so overused and becomes worn in a platitude, but part of leading or being a moral authority is showing poise and confidence and courage and faith. In many cases, even when you don't feel it inside. Now, you never want to be duplicitous. You never want to be showy. You never just want to exhibit something that isn't true. Sometimes you know you have to generate feelings that you may not have naturally because you have to project and you have to broadcast calm and confidence. My Rebbe Rav Amital told us once that after the Yom Kippur War, and there were 8 boys from the yeshiva who never came back, and many of the boys who came back just weren't the same when they came back. And he had a real, I won't say a breakdown, it's hard to put yourself in the shoes, I don't think he ever used those terms, but he was seriously affected in a good way. I think Rav Lichtenstein, when he eulogized Rav Amital, he spoke about how Rav Amital created a new model of a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rosh Yeshiva that lives with the Shchol. Shchol in Hebrew means lost children to war. And it's such a traumatic experience here in Israel. And he, as a Rosh Yeshiva, lived that experience along with the families, but he lived it eightfold. And he said that he didn't feel strength, but he had to display strength for his students. And knowing Rav Amital wasn't an act, but he generated inner strength in order to exude it. So you'd expect someone to step up. You'd expect Nesiim. You'd expect Sanhedrin. And all you have are Kalev and Yeshua. And sadly, their efforts are gobbled up, are countered by all this wave of panic. So I think the hidden message, the hidden flow between Balosch and Shlach is not just the micro juxtaposition or the micro contiguity between Balosch and Shlach and the toxicity of slander and libel, but it's also you'd expect leaders to have a little more courage. Courage is a very underrated part of leadership, and truth is a very underrated part of Avodas Hashem. Shabbat Shalom, wherever you are. In Chutz Laretz, reading Balosch, or in Eretz Yisrael, reading Shlach, and hoping to rectify the terrible sin of the Meraglim.